right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, Chauncey Talese from LA Podfidential is joining me to talk about M. Night Shyamalan's Old. It's always an interesting thing to get to talk about M. Night Shyamalan films. I mean, you know, they're not all great. We know that already. But if nothing else, they're always interesting, even the bad ones. And Old is not one of the bad ones. Old is a weird one. It's very, very unique and very different and weird. And I had fun with it. That's all there is to it. And I had a lot of fun talking about it. And we had a lot of great puzzle pieces to get into. So that is coming up here in a second. Before we do get to the conversation, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, and follow us on social media at Piecing Pod, and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about right here on the show. And of course, there's been plenty and plenty and plenty of conversations about M. Night Shyamalan and his films over the last few years in that group, but I'm sure there'll be many more to come. So, with all that said, let's start talking about The Beach That Makes You Old. We're going to talk about Old. All right, Chauncey Talese from LA Podfidential is back with us. We're going to talk about Old. Chauncey, how's it going?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to talking about this weird freaking movie.
M. Night, baby.
Yeah. Man, there's so many different angles that we could, like, go into this one from. I mean, I guess let's just start off. I've been asking this a lot lately to my guests. Like, were you, like, really excited for this movie? Were you looking forward to this one? Are you a big M. Night fan?
Yeah, he's the one I was kind of root for. Like, I know, you know, when he's bad, he's bad. But I'm like, you know what? He's been in kind of a role lately. The Visit was good. I like Split a lot. Yeah. I wasn't a huge Glass person, but I'm like, you know what? I give him credit for trying. And it just seems like he's back in his groove. And he's someone, like, I'm always intrigued because I know... Yeah. He's going to try to do something more original. I know this was based on a graphic novel, but very loosely. But still, yeah. You know, I give him credit for, like, wanting to self-fund his stuff mostly. I don't think he did so in this case because he didn't have to. But, you know, he built himself back up. Like, he allowed himself to get out of the void. And every time it's kind of like watching an older pitcher, like, oh, I hope he does that. I hope he strikes the guy out now. I hope he does it. I hope he has his fastball, you know. And this is a solid M. Night start.
You just know that whatever he's going to do, he's going to go all in on it. And, like, he doesn't seem to really be worried about us, like, being along for the ride. Like, he's just going to present this weird idea, do it in whatever way that in the moment he feels he needs to make this movie. And if we get it, we get it. And that's kind of what it is. And you said that you're rooting for him. I feel the exact same way. Like, I always feel like I'm rooting for him. I want to love each new project he makes, even if I don't like them all. It's always something that's at least going to be interesting to watch, even if it kind of burns out.
Yeah, and honestly, the way he's aged, you know, mentally has been really nice too. Like, he seems, we'll get into, like, the how in this movie, but he seems more comfortable with himself, like, just being himself rather than, like, having to build a brand or having to feel like he's making a character. Like, early, you know, mid-2000s, like, especially get to The Village, and he has, like, what was it, the mysteries, the secret, the buried secrets of M. Night, oh, you know, I'm trying to do this whole bit, and it didn't work. Like, he doesn't take himself as seriously anymore. And he seems very much like allowing himself to be a dork, which I appreciate.
Yes.
Doesn't need to have this
mystique
about him.
I think that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of got humbled. He became a dad. And, like, that very much shows, like, this might be his most dad movie in a while. And a lot of his movies are kid-centric, but very dad movie.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially with a character named Midsize Sedan.
Yep. A rapper character. Oh, but... I see. I see. Like, that sounds like what a rap would have been in, like, SVU or something. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfect, like, that's a Law and Order SVU joke if I've ever heard it. And I respect
totally.
It.
Definite respect from us old folks. But let's start jumping into some puzzle pieces here for Old. What do you got for your first piece?
So this one's kind of obvious because that's kind of what the movie is. But it's like my puzzle piece is the Twilight Zone TV show. It was
Sure.
very much felt like a Twilight Zone-ish kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially more the hour-long ones, just because that's where they kind of like get wonky. Like when they were the half hour back then, they were like very tight, controlled, and when you get to like the twist at the end, it was perfect. Whereas this, so like, well, okay, like, some of it's a little shaggy, but they get there. But I very much felt like a Twilight Zone kind of thing, and it's asking it's sort of picking at a question, but not really, and it's sort of trying to make you think. And in Old's case, not really. Like, it has an idea of a lot of things it wants to tackle. Plus, there's a lot of art people that are of various art specific archetypes that it wants to explore and unpack when they get into like a really bad situation.
For sure. And I feel like, and obviously piecing it together, we always give the spoiler warning. We will get into lots of spoilers here, including the twists of the movie. It is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, but I feel like the twist definitely does a disservice to what the rest of the movie before that point was. I feel like he really is exploring some interesting things, maybe about aging and about family and the way we spend our time as we age and things like that. But then we have to have that postscript at the end where, oh, it all is this big experiment, and it just throws all that kind of out the window, I feel like. And I'm not sure, maybe, because there are some people who, let's just get this out in the open here. I like this movie as not necessarily a so bad it's good, but like a so ridiculous it's good. That's how I like this movie. That might come up with some of my other puzzle pieces, by the way. But I think this movie is very ridiculous, but mainly because of that ending. I think it could have been a little bit more grounded if we didn't get that twist.
Well, what you have before that though was actually very interesting. When the main couple are on the beach together and like they don't know, remember what they're fighting about anymore, and like they spoiler they pat they both like die of old age, and you're like, oh, that's actually a really beautiful moment, and like they're spending time with their kids. I'm like, that's the movie I thought should have been more or less about. Obviously, I'm like, I know there's gonna be something, like, because they really tease it with, especially M. Night's cameo, which might be, I think it might be his best one. Like, I really
It could
respect
be.
it.
He's like a real actor in this one.
Well, it's his most, like, I know what I'm in on the bit. Like, I know. Like, I'm actually serving as a director on this one. I'm taking you to the action, and I'm also feeling like he seemed it was the most self-aware. Like, it was the good version of like his bit in the in Lady in the Water, for instance. Like, I see him. I'm your storyteller. Here I am. Like, I'm Alfred Hitchcock Presents. But he has these really beautiful
Absolutely.
moments, like when they're on the beach together. It's like, what were we even fighting about? Like, he can't, like, he knows he's on his way out. She's losing her hearing, but they have this like last moment together, and it's like perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the movie would have resonated more if we didn't get that twist at the end, because I do think it really seems like it had something to say up until that point, but then it kind of undermines it. But it's the movie that he wanted to tell, and that's it is what it is. But I'll move on to my first puzzle piece, which is definitely a little bit of a jokey one to kind of to start my list off on, but I just wanted to include it on the list anyway. And it's not a movie, but it's those apps that make you look old. Or change your face in
That's a good
some
one.
way, based on like the timeline of when this movie was made. And I know that it wasn't a completely original idea. This is loosely based on a graphic novel, but based on the timeline, I feel like Shyamalan maybe was playing with those apps just like we all were a few years ago, and said, something that makes you immediately get older, and then there's no way to go back. That is a start of something here. Where can I build off a story from that? And that's something that is so, first of all, it's universal to begin with, just thinking about getting older. I think, we all, worry about that and think about it. But just the fact that we have this new technology that has made it so easy to see that and then think about it. And yeah, we all laugh about it, but it's there, and we see ourselves old, and we're just like, oh, jeez, okay, that's coming at some point, and I think using that is an impetus for writing a story to come out of that.
My second puzzle piece, it's another silly one, but I definitely had to have thought he saw the movie like while he was writing it, but Blue Lagoon.
Okay, for sure.
Because as the like the 6-year-old girl and then their 8-year-old boy like age, they have a Blue Lagoon moment in the tent, which
Yeah.
I thought was hilarious. And he really went to the extreme with that gag. Well, I wouldn't say, yeah, it's kind of a gag. Like just
It's like a gag.
the
It's
baby
played
being
like a
born, and
gag.
then like they have to bury it, and they make the bone sound, which is horrible. But like I'm like, oh, this is like the Dark Blue Lagoon, because they do that in that movie
Yes.
too. They get together and she has a baby, doesn't know what's happening, because she's like 13 and like doesn't have any education because they were shipwrecked on an island for years.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I see what you're
It's
doing.
funny the actors that play out that scene, because Eliza Scanlan always just in just the darkest stuff, like the worst things happening to her. And then Alex Wolff is just really going for it with this character, just as this like kid who just grew up over, over a few minutes. Really interesting performance, kind of fun.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'll go to my next piece. One of the first things that came to mind, it's a movie I haven't seen in a long, long time, since probably opening weekend. But it's from 1996, based on the Stephen King book. It's Thinner.
Oh, okay.
A movie about a
Wow.
guy who, yes, right? That was a long time ago. But he hits a gypsy with his car, and then she curses him, and he is now slowly getting thinner and thinner, and dying of it. And it just the parallel of just the horror of what could come from just not having any control over your body, just something happening to your body, and there's just nothing you can do about it. This also made me think of something that happened to me a couple of years ago. I got trigger finger for the first time. I don't know if you've ever had
Oh,
that before,
no.
but it's horrifying, absolutely terrifying. I was just I had just finished shaving, and all of a sudden my thumb just like bent downwards and was completely like I didn't have a thumb. Like there was no movement whatsoever in it, and it was the most horrifying thing in the world. And just the idea of your body just doing something that you just can't do anything about it. Is I think it comes up in the fear that is like baked into the concept of old.
Oh wow, okay. That's a good pull. Okay. Mine's another horror one. The Ruins. You remember that one?
Okay. Yeah. I think I saw that back when it first came out. It's been a while.
Yeah, I remember it was one of those I just missed it in theaters for whatever reason, then we rented it, and then I've seen it a couple times then. But the element that I'm pulling from that is when Clint Eastwood's daughter is like slowly is just she they say, well, she has like a calcium deficiency. They lay that track in the beginning, and then as she gets older, how her body's deteriorating. Very similar to like the ruins when what's her face? Like I think she gets like poisoned and her skin is like starting to peel, and like she's slowly like deteriorating as that movie goes along too. And what's funny is like it's not a gra old's not a graphic movie except in that part when like her bones are really falling apart and she's just becoming a monster. She becomes like a Cronenberg monster.
Yeah, she really does. I was actually laughing in the theater, I'm sorry to anyone else who was in the theater who was maybe taking it a little more seriously,
Sure.
but to me that was so over the top. I loved it. But yeah, I mean, I was laughing just because of how over the top it was. It was great.
I know, I was like, wow, he's going for it. I love this. Like, see,
Yes.
I love this groove M. Night's in. He's really going for it. He doesn't care about, I mean, doesn't really care about like appealing to everybody. He's in his like, I'm trying to just make a really good B movie, which he's been saying for years, but it's been like, okay, buddy, like you're making After Earth. Like, I know you're not doing a B movie, but. Now it's like he's owning it. Like he's finally found where he belongs.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go to another piece here. This might be an obvious one, I'm not sure, but I thought of the Blair Witch Project.
Okay.
Just these people that are stuck in this place where, for some strange, not really fully explained reason. I mean, not at all explained in the Blair Witch Project. Here, kind of explained in a weird, science fiction-y way. But they just simply can't leave. And anyone who you tell the concept of old to, if they haven't seen the movie, they would say, why don't they just leave the beach? And it's like, no, you can't leave the beach. And similarly in Blair Witch Project, they just simply can't leave the forest. Even if they just walk in a straight line, they'll just end up back where they started.
Right. That kind of dovetails with my other one is Identity.
Okay. I've never actually seen Identity. I've heard good things about it, though.
I mean, the twist in Identity is different from the one in Old, but, like, once, like, each character has their own thing they're hiding, and, like, once the reveals come out, they start going, like, dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you find out Vicky Krieps, oh, she has a tumor, it caused her to cheat, or you find out that the doctor actually has schizophrenia. They suffer from that. Like, it's like, like, you know, they're not entirely who we think these people aren't entirely who we think they are.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. And much like Identity, they're all in a place. They can't leave for various reasons. They're all stuck there and they all eventually turn on each other.
Sure. Yeah. This wasn't on my list to begin with, but just you talking about Identity, I'd like to throw The Thing in there. Carpenter's The Thing and the original.
Mm-hmm.
Was that going to be on your list?
Yeah, but that's okay. You can have it.
Oh, please. Anything else you wanted to bring up about it? But I mean, yeah, it just a lot of those same themes that Identity is kind of getting into.
Yeah, and mistrust and, you know, there, because like the bit with the doctor and Midsize Sedan, like, you know, like there's a racial element in there too. Like, he doesn't trust him because of that. He thinks he's a murderer. And then you're like, oh, actually, Midsize Sedan was, you know, not from the streets. He's, you know, he was a group very well to do. And, you know, like, oh, okay, there's that reveal. And then there's the so much, there's like reveal on top of reveal on top of reveal until eventually you get to the big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also throw in, you know, as far as The Thing as a puzzle piece, you know, the scene we were just talking about where the girl like just turns into like a straight up monster in the mm-hmm. cave. I mean, that's like some Carpenter, you know, just creature horror. Basically, the way that she's turning. So yeah, definitely a lot of that. Like having both of those pieces in there. I'll go to my next piece. I'm going to bring up a puzzle piece that I know that M. Night has mentioned as mm-hmm. a actual influence on this. And at the end of the conversation, I'll read his tweet where he lists all the things and see, you know, which ones we brought up. But this was one that I had thought of before I saw his tweet because I just recently watched it for the first time. And that's Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Okay.
From 1975.
Yeah.
Which, you know, another like mystery takes place at this like picturesque cliffside and people are disappearing and the way that it's shot is just, you know, absolutely beautiful, but also like kind of disorienting because of these just like high, beautiful cliff faces. And the way that M. Night's movie kind of, you know, scares you with its environment and makes it just seem so unknowable what you can and can't do, if you can get out, if you're just trapped there, if you're stuck, if the mystery of what's happening to people is ever going to get solved. None of it is really fully explained or clearly explained. And I feel like that's a pretty big parallel. And obviously it's something that was on his mind there.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
So what do you have for your next piece?
So this one's a little bit more esoteric, but I would say The Graduate.
Okay.
Well, like, just the way the ending, like, the ending's very much influenced by The Graduate, because there isn't really a cathartic ending, because, yeah, sure, like, they are able to call the cops, because, sure. they have that one cop that's, like, on vacation, but, like, the way it ends, so they're in the copter, it's like, well, now what? The now what ending?
Right. Sure. Yeah, it is a now what ending.
The helicopter's leaving, and they're just kind of, like, just staring into the camera. Like, okay, yeah. Like, whether he meant to or not, that's very much like The Graduate ending.
Yeah. No, I could see that. Now, I was like, I wonder where he's going to go with this. But definitely, it's the now what ending, for sure. That definitely works. I'll go with another piece. I'm going to go with it. I had mentioned earlier that this movie is not so much so bad it's good, but it's so ridiculous it's good. And that's why I genuinely did enjoy Old. I think that the movie I'm about to bring up is a puzzle piece, not so much that it inspired Old, because it's probably too new to really truly be an inspiration anyway, but more so that it just would make the perfect double feature with Old, and that is Serenity, starring Anne Hathaway and Matthew McConaughey. An absolutely bonkers movie, both of which just totally swing for the fences with their idea. They just have these insane premises built on huge, just does it work? Maybe not really twists, with these performances that are really big and like inspired by an era of movies that is like the acting is just kind of unrealistic and just too huge for the movie that it's happening in. But, you know, it's certainly a celebrated style of acting. A lot of older movies kind of do, you know, kind of play out that way. But combining that performance style with such a huge idea makes for a movie that really just doesn't seem to care whether or not people are along with it or not. They're just going for it, 100%.
You know, you just gave me an idea for one, too, because this sort of falls on the same wavelength as Us. Jordan Peele's Us.
Sure.
Where the premise works, but it's not like a unit. It doesn't work for everybody. Like, it works specifically for this family, for this story, but, like, if you were to extrapolate and pull out, like, it falls apart.
Sure.
And that's why a lot of people had a problem with Us. Like, well, it doesn't make sense. Like, what about this? What about this? Like, no, but if you focus on this specific group of people, it work. Like, they make it work, but... Sure, it's not going to work for the world writ large. And Old is kind of that too. It's so perfectly set so that like it works for this very specific set of circumstances with this very specific set of people.
Yeah, and I think that is a tendency for older films, like where they didn't feel the need for the central premise to extrapolate outward to like the whole world. Nowadays, I feel like movies do feel the need to fill in every single gap and, you know, have that full explanation and do a full world building thing and you get every last thing. And if not, then you're going to need a sequel to do that, you know, or need an entire, maybe a spin-off series.
They don't want to be ripped on like by the CinemaSins people of the world. Like, if you do this, the whole movie falls apart. It's like, well, congratulations. Like every movie ever would fall apart.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like if you think about it, some elements, like immediately crashes. Like,
oh yeah.
That's why you suspend disbelief. That's what you're suspending.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of pitch meetings and they will do them for movies that I genuinely love. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a movie. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Like Back to the Future, everyone's like, it's a perfect movie. It's like, well, it's not, because there's so many, like, you know, I guess, quote unquote, plot holes, but like the thing works because the movie's good. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like Back to the Future rules, but like, you know, if you try to pick it apart, like it crumbles pretty quickly too, because there's so many different like logic stuff. But like, yeah, I'm not there for the logic because that's not what the story is.
Yeah.
Like the time travel stuff it's there, but like it's more about Marty learning who his parents are. Like, they do that arc so well, you don't care. Like, well, what if he went back here? What if he did this?
Especially with a time travel movie.
Yeah. Old functions this way, too, because, like, yeah, the final twist doesn't... Because you're like, okay, well, that's they just do this for everybody? Like, they even bring the kids in there? That seems a little cruel. Like,
right.
Like, but you're like, well, okay, like, but in the story, like, I liked it because it forced everybody to kind of deal with their stuff. Especially like he creates family, that main arc especially,
yeah,
and just like the bond between like the brother and sister, like that bond like it only gets better, and like the parents are able to reconcile and come back, and that stuff is good, and it keeps the other stuff from becoming too glaring.
I will go with the Truman Show. You know, yeah, I mean, just everything that's happening on this beach is obviously being you know, recorded and observed by this you know, science experiment, basically, to observe the effects of medications on these people as they age, you know, in a very quick amount of time. And that's our big twist here. But, you know, in a similar way as the Truman Show, for Jim Carrey's character, you know, everything is this television show. He's being observed at every moment. Everything that he thinks is his own, you know, life choices and his day to day is actually all kind of, he's being pushed towards it all and only getting to realize that at the end. And for our characters, you know, it's mostly too late before anybody, you know, really gets a chance to realize anything. Really, no one ever does realize anything except for the two youngest characters who eventually make it out. But, you know, still, you got that whole everybody being monitored the whole time, which I think makes for a good connection there.
Exactly. And, you know, and much like the Truman, I mean, they don't do it much because, like, they have to kind of, like, get, like, okay, well, we got to get this ending, explain it, and then get everybody out. But, like, the scientist, because, like, there was a little bit of, like, Cabin in the Woods there for me, too, just, like, the way the scientists are like, very cash about, like, well, hey, that was fun. Like, there was a little bit of, like, oh, that was very weird. They got to the coral.
Yeah. Yeah, that is actually a really good one there, Cabin in the Woods, to include that on the list, because yeah, I mean, there's just like such a coldness to this experiment, mm-hmm. where they just don't care about these people at all. They're just experiments.
Well, they're still like, well, we're doing it for the greater good. It's like, well, no, you're not, because you're making money off of it. It's not total altruism. You're
freaking monsters.
And you're also making it so that like these people, like, well, they never went to our hotel.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. Basically erasing them from existence, and they get like nothing out of it, unless you're like, well, they got like a really nice couple days at the resort. We're not monsters.
Which is,
they ate well.
That's kind of nice, I suppose.
We gave them pasta salad. It's cool. Like, what?
There you go. It looked like good pasta salad. Do you have any other pieces?
Oh, my last, that was Cabin in the Woods. You reminded me of one, because I was like, oh, wait, do I? Oh, yeah, Cabin in the Woods, because of like, the mundanity of like what all the horrible shit they're doing, because they're sacrificing people. Essentially.
For sure. All right. Well, my last piece is really just the quote from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, again, until that twist ending undoes that. But, you know, for up until that point, that's what the movie seems to be about. Mm-hmm. And it's a good message.
Exactly. And there was a little bit of village in there too, with the way M. Night explains like what's going on with the, like with said village. That's how they kind of do it with like the head of the pharmaceutical company at the end.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is what our mission is, people. Like, this is what they're doing. Like, okay, yeah. Well, I didn't need that. I think I got it, but okay. Thanks, M. Night. Like, that was his little Spielberg thing of like this, like the extra couple minutes that you don't need, but you have to like lay it on thicker.
You're right. Yeah, we got to drive everything home, make sure it's all wrapped up with a bow at the end.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and do the finished puzzle for old, and then we'll get into any closing thoughts we have. But we talked about Twilight Zone, Blue Lagoon, Thinner, The Ruins, The Blair Witch Project, Identity, The Thing, Picnic at Hanging Rock, The Graduate, Serenity, Us, The Truman Show, Cabin in the Woods, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and The Village. And also, I brought up face apps that make you look old.
Yeah.
So that was in there too. So I had mentioned earlier that M. Night Shyamalan, I don't usually do this, even if I do see an interview or something like that where the director specifically mentions influences, but it just seemed like such a nicely, we just talk about how he likes to wrap up the movies with a nice bow at the end. It just seemed like such a nice all-encompassing tweet that lists out some influences. So I just figured I'd mention it. He tweeted about a week ago, "For my fellow film nerds, Old was inspired by classic movies. Some of them are Walkabout, Picnic at Hanging Rock, Kuroniko, which I don't know, The Exterminating Angel, Jaws, and of course the Twilight Zone TV show." So two of our pieces were on there. And I have never seen those other ones. Well, I've seen Jaws, but not the other ones, though. Have you seen any of those other ones?
No. I don't think I have.
Okay, well, interesting list of movies to check out along with our puzzle piece list. So, do you have any other closing thoughts on Old that we didn't quite get to?
I was really impressed with like how a lot of the actors played as kids, because that's a very, mm-hmm. very, very hard thing to needle to thread.
Sure,
you know, like kids being like adults, but like they're still mentally kids. Like they played that really well. It never got into like creepy area. It just it's a very hard thing to do. It's like to play a child. I really like the cast. Like they all kind of brought it in their own way.
Yeah,
I give him like credit for how he shot it, because like, he shot it during COVID and made sure that like that entire hotel was like all everyone there was like there for the movie. Like nobody was, you know what I mean? Like nobody is in or out. That wasn't part of the thing, so like they can keep everything controlled. I give him credit for that. And for pulling it off, because that must have been kind of a pain in the ass.
I imagine it would be. Yeah, that is cool. And you know, back to the cast. One other cast member we didn't really quite talk about is Rufus Sewell.
Oh yeah,
which I think he's so much fun in this. He is just so. I mean, talk about B movie. I mean, he is so over the top in this movie. And I think that's when I kind of locked in and started really enjoying the movie, is when he started kind of. You know, his mind is like kind of deteriorating in this film as he's getting older. And I guess they say he's schizophrenic at one point. I'm not sure what the diagnosis would be for.
Like, I can't find out because then I won't be able to perform heart surgery. And I'm like the greatest heart surgeon ever.
Right. Yeah, it's such an over the top character and a great performance in this kind of movie. Yeah, I think he's kind of MVP here. But yeah, the whole cast is really they're all in. They're having fun.
Like, I love their dynamics so much. Like the epileptic and then her nurse husband.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's a great dynamic. There seems like so fun.
It is. It's just really fun. Collection of characters put all in one place, which is another thing that could really be, you know, I thought about including maybe some, you know, classic, I guess The Thing kind of does that, like, you know, stuck in one location mm-hmm. kind of movies. So I guess that really ended up wrapping that up well as being a piece for that. But yeah, getting a bunch of big characters all in one place and they just simply can't leave. The Thing rules. I think that's a good closing thought. Well, yeah, Chauncey, thanks so much for doing the show again. And is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, man. Not really. Not so much new stuff, because that's been sort of harder to come by. I like No Sudden Moves a lot, the new Soderbergh.
I still need to get to that. By the time this goes up, maybe I will finally have watched it and I'll be able to say, I like that movie.
Like, I know, like, it's very cliche to say this on, like, movie podcasts, but they really don't make them like that very much anymore.
And, sure.
Like, everyone just having a ball. Like, I just love this run Brendan Fraser's been on.
Yeah.
Kind of popping up and stuff and just being great. Like, I love him on Doom Patrol. I love him, like, I liked him in Trust. I like him in No Sudden Move. He's really showing up and stuff again. I'm really happy for him.
It's exciting to see him back in so many things. Yeah,
Cheadle's got a great
bunch of big movie roles.
He doesn't get. I feel bad for Cheadle. Like, he doesn't really get much to do, like, in general. Like, he's when he's not War Machine, they don't let him do anything. Like, I know he had Space Jam, but like, and he's done a lot of TV. But like,
they let him do a lot in Space Jam, but not the right stuff.
This was like one of the first times in a while where he's like gotten to like do some real acting, like Talk to Me, like level acting.
That's great. I gotta check it out. Well, awesome. Chauncey, why don't you tell people where they can find you and your podcast?
Sure. My podcast, LA Confidential, you can find it at lafbnetwork.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you download your podcasts. And then you can also read my pieces on the LA Rams on lafbnetwork.com.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much again for doing the show, and we'll see. Hopefully I can get you back again sometime.
Thank you, man. I've really had fun with this.
Hello, this is Bubba Wheat from It's Time to Rewind, a movie podcast. Wait, that's not quite right. Hello, this is Bubba Wheat from It's Time to Rewind, a time travel podcast. Wait, that's not quite right either. Hello, this is Bubba Wheat from It's Time to Rewind, a time loop podcast where we discuss time loop movies and TV shows, one loop at a repetitive time. Find it on anchor.fm and anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about M. Night Shyamalan's Old. Like I said at the top of the show, it's always fun to talk about M. Night Shyamalan. I got to do some, like, Breaking It Apart or Missing Pieces episodes on some of his other films, because it's always something worth getting into and talking about and thinking about. So anyway, yeah, hope you enjoyed that conversation. As always, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can, of course, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, and follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Of course, we also have a Patreon, produced by David Rosen Patreon, that combines bonus and early content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and my music career. Lots of great stuff over there, so make sure to check that out as well. And, you know, number one, always the number one thing, share the show. If you do that, you're awesome, and I appreciate it so much, and thank you. Thank you so much for doing that, for everybody who is out there sharing. So, I'm gonna close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do. I was trying to think, do I have anything about a beach that makes you old? And I don't think so. But instead, I'm just going to play one of my odder tracks, because it is an M. Night Shyamalan movie. And I'm going to try to pick one that I haven't really played before, because this is a unique situation, a unique kind of movie. So it seems like a good place to do that. And I don't think I've ever played this on the show. This is The Fallout. It's from my album, An Unseen Sky. I hope you enjoy it. And the whole album is, of course, available on Spotify if you want to stream it, or Apple Music if you want to stream it, or on iTunes or Bandcamp or CD Baby, any of the places where you can buy music, it's also available. There's also a limited edition CD I should suggest that you get over there on Bandcamp. But yes, it is available out there to listen to along with the rest of the album. This is actually probably my favorite album that I ever put out, this and my self-titled album, David Rosen. But yeah, this is one of the weirder tracks on this particular album. So hope you enjoy it. Again, it's called Fallout, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.